Hi, I'm Chris Reynolds, and I'm on a mission to help independent financial advisors build a better business through a remarkable client experience. In this podcast, you're going to learn how to do that from my conversations with the visionaries, the leaders, the independent advisors who are reshaping the future of the financial advice industry. At the end of each episode, you're going to walk away with an actionable idea that you can take and use right now, and it will help you to build a better business today. This is Turning the Page. The next 2 weeks, we're going to be looking back at some of the moments on this podcast that really offered some great insights and helpful information. Hopefully, you'll take some of these nuggets and use them to help you really make some big things happen for the remainder of this year. This week, we're going to focus on growing your business through a great client experience. And certainly you've heard me talk about client experiences over and over and over again. Throughout this podcast, we've had many, many different speakers all talking about what an important part client experience makes. And in today's competitive landscape, having a remarkable client experience is the biggest key to growing your business. Always remember this: happy and satisfied clients become loyal fans that remark to friends and family. What this does is it spreads that positive word of mouth, and that's what drives hugely profitable organic growth. So therefore, there's no need to spend money. You don't need ads when your clients become your walking billboards for you. And how do you do this? Well, as you've heard, we start with the client. That's how all great businesses thrive. So investing in client-centric strategies, this will enhance your ability to understand their needs, understand their expectations, start tailoring specific solutions to their problems, and service them exactly the way they want to be serviced. This customer-focused approach fosters innovation and allows you to stay ahead of the competition. And ultimately, this is what propels your business towards sustained success. So if you'd like to talk about your great client experience or how to create a great client experience, I'd love to have a virtual coffee with you. Just have to look in the notes and you can go right to me. So now what I'd like to do is take a little moment to look at some of the great speakers that we've had over this podcast, some great guests. And I'm going to start with Ryan Estes. Ryan Estes, we just got along so great. And what he talked about was the opportunity to grow your client experience. In the post-COVID world, clients actually are expecting more. And we all see this, right? And this is actually a great opportunity if you're in the advice industry. So take a listen to Ryan. There are really three areas that we were talking about that you should really prepare for. One is the client experience. As you define it and as I define it, where I think we're from the same school, that is your brand. Your brand is what clients think about you. It's the experience. And maybe you can share some examples of where that has really been impactful for certain entrepreneurs.
Yeah. So we do think about it the same way. Your brand is no longer what you say it is. It's what everybody says it is. And your clients are the stewards of that experience. When you look at brand and the impact it can have on sort of the bottom line of a business, and I'll give you a beautiful example of this. And I think it's one that at least is near and dear to your son's heart, and that's the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
And so you think about brand experience. They really have evolved their business model from a traditional football franchise into a technology and entertainment business. It's 365 days, 7 day a week access. And they've been able to very effectively monetize and digitize that experience through technology, through their practice facility, through partnerships. I mean, they have one of the most heavily tracked fitness centers, Cowboys Fit. They have a social club now. They have a co-working space. They have a partnership with Omni Hotels. They're in the restaurant business. They're in the retail business. So when you think about the evolution from game day on Sunday and what that's meant for revenue and sponsorships, now here's the outcome of that. Here's the impact of that from an entrepreneurship perspective. Jerry Jones bought that franchise in the late 80s for about $189 million.
Right, right.
Today, they're the first franchise in the history of sport to be valued at over $8 billion.
Wow. That's now, a good return on investment.
Good return on investment. And I really think the obsession with it start, he is obsessed as an entrepreneur with client experience, the same way that I need to be, the same way that I know you are. And I think particularly in the advice business and particularly financial services, there is an opportunity to create depth and breadth in that client experience because clients are expecting more. our experience as consumers is shaping our experience of everything.
Right.
And I think in this post-COVID world, customers are in a place where they expect more. To the degree that you can deliver on that and differentiate from simply just an account managed perspective or a standard practice, you have an opportunity to grow.
The next guest that we had on our podcast was Dennis Mosley Williams. And again, he's a lot of fun. And he talks about the difference of customer service versus the customer experience. And these are two different things. People think that client service is the same as experience, but it's not. There's a difference between the two. When you recognize your clients are looking to feel unique and be seen, be heard, you can create an experience that makes them really feel special. Think of brands like Starbucks. They do it so well. So how can you do that? So let's take a listen to what Dennis had to say. Now, do you have any good examples that you've seen applied where an advisor has really made someone special or used done that? I'm going to call even the check-in. Is there anything that you can point to?
Here's where it begins. Your work has to be about something. So what I tell my clients is, you know, there's service, which is what you do, and it's all commoditized. There's experience, which is how you do it.
Right.
And what we all know is that when you recognize a human being's need, we all have it, even me.
Yep.
I can even say especially me, maybe.
Right.
Even me. To be seen as an individual and not a client, a customer, a number, a person, Dennis Mosley Williams.
Real person.
Individual.
Right.
A market of one totally unique client. Well, that's experience, how you do it. And we know we'll pay you more for that. I mean, that's why we go to Starbucks. That's why we stay at the Four Seasons. It's just a hotel, but the way they do it and how it makes us feel is worth something we pay more. But what advisors really need to be thinking about is this next step, which is consequence.
Right.
Service is what you do. Experience is how you do it. Consequence is ultimately what your business is about. How you change the client, who you help the client become. So you asked me a question about who's doing it well. That's a tricky question for me to answer.
It is.
Here it is. It's self-serving, so I apologize. That's my disclaimer. I know a number of clients that I work with personally who are doing it well.
Right. But that you have firsthand experience, and that's probably why they're doing it.
Correct. And they've committed to this idea of transformation, of consequence, of staging a series of sequential events, which I will just clarify. Wow, what could that be? Well, those are review meetings and check-in calls and onboarding and client events and all the things that everybody listening to the podcast does already, however, adjusted,
right,
shifted, if you will, seriously, away from delivering services to staged experiences that lead clients to, let's just call it a eureka moment,
right,
to achieving their aspirations.
Right.
And this is, you know, I throw these little questions out, but it's for everybody listening, you know, it's like you write this down to think about. How do you want your client to finish this sentence? And Chris, I'll just use you. Chris, thanks so much for everything you do for me. Hey, Chris, thanks for everything you do. We look forward to these meetings with you, and you're really wonderful and reassuring. And I got to be honest, when the whole world was flipping its desk and, you know, when the market was melting down, Sherry and I didn't even think about it. No, we didn't even think about it. Okay. But wait. But what I really want to thank you for is this. If it wasn't for you, I don't even think Sherry and I would know about what?
X, yeah.
Okay, and it shouldn't be, I wouldn't even know about the downside capture, or I wouldn't even know about the downside. It's not about the money. It's this. Wow, not only do I not care about that noise, since I started working with you, you've had a really profound impact on the way Sherry and I see this.
Right.
And as people, we feel like over the last, since we met you, you've helped us become better. So I know a number of individuals I work with who do that,
right,
who are guided by, you know, an experience staging. My partner, Tom, and I refer to this as the theme.
The theme.
It's the reason of your work. Okay. And it informs everything you do.
Right.
So I have a number of clients who have committed to this idea of what we really call the new you, the complete transformation.
Right.
Where your money's a part of it. It's just a tool, but everybody listening knows, well, we all know somebody has a lot of money that's miserable. I mean, my goodness.
Exactly. So, there's always a few.
So how do you measure the success, right? And it's like, well, how about we measure it in what Brian Portnoy, a friend of mine in the United States wrote a book called The Geometry of Wealth, which I really need to start getting some royalties on. My goodness, I love that book and I sell it all the time. Anyhow, I always say to Brian, oh, I'm pretty sure I was the first guy that went crazy for your statement. And he said, funded contentment.
Funded contentment. Ooh, I like that. I'm even going to write that down right now.
Funded you should. I have it tattooed in Latin on my arm. So they you know, financial advisors can manage the funded. Not too many people are managing the contentment.
The next great guest that we had, and really had a lot of fun and enjoyed this, was Kevin Nichols. And what he talked about was connect deeper with your audience. It's important to remember that the customer experience also extends to your online experience. And a lot of people, sort of separate these things, especially with the younger demographic. They're going to start their research for financial advice or really any business online. And it's how do you connect online? So let's take a listen to what Kevin had to say.
Well, that's sort of branding 101. It really wouldn't matter what the medium is. It takes time for people to see that image over and over and over. And certainly one of the things that I've observed is consumers, look at, the digital web when they're making consumer decisions. In other words, I know myself, and I used this story before. You can use it if you want. I was living in Key West down in Florida, and I had a toothache, so I had to find a dentist. How would somebody find a dentist? You would Google it.
Right.
So I Google it. By the way, if you didn't know, there's 5 dentists in Key West, only 5. And 3 of them had websites that were horrible, terrible. They looked like their kids did it. 2 of them, one of them had a good one, and one of them had a great one. To your point, one of them had great content. Right? They had a newsletter. They did videos. They were doing things. Who did I choose? Right? As a prospective client, actually, the qualification really didn't actually matter to me. It was who had the best web presence. And you probably see this every day in what you do.
Oh, 100%. I love that's actually a fantastic example, because I'm not looking to get a root canal from someone who doesn't seem like they know what they're doing, right? Like I don't want to go through that pain. And when we're asking people to, let us manage their money, right? That's a big decision. And, the quality of that presence matters. So but I want to go back to what you said about how consumer decision-making has changed. And if you're familiar with Oxley at all, we've done a lot of work with you guys in the past, and, we do a lot of research. So research on affluent investors, research on elite financial professionals. And when we're researching affluent investors, we just conducted a study that found that the under 45 group, so we broke it down by age category, age breakdown, but the under 45 group would start their search for a financial advisor online, which has never happened in our research before. And these are all, they all meet the qualifications to be affluent in our study. But what that tells me is that, the younger demographic, is more native to them to run a search, right? And to see what they can find. And they're going to start that search online. Now, do they make the final decision online? I don't know, right? I mean, they might still ask for some recommendations. And, I think that word of mouth marketing is still super important. But to see that, in our data, was like, wow, that shows us that consumer behavior is changing and we need to be ready for it as an advisor.
One of my favorite podcasts was with Chris McChesney talking about the 4DX. And what he talks about is the urgent versus important and the real importance about measuring and how important it is for not only you, but your team to measure. And he uses a great example. And this is why I really love this podcast was, many people know I live in Miami, and he used the example of a Miami hotel. It's actually Lowe's. And they talked about how using measurement, the actual parking staff figured out that one of the things that was causing client complaints was they weren't getting the cars fast enough. And so they actually took down a wall in the parking lot to make sure that they could meet their client expectations. Now that's going above and beyond. So let's listen to what Chris has to say about that.
Because I think this story also illustrates why we don't do these disciplines automatically. Because you hear them and you think, well, isn't that how people work? No, it's not.
No, I wish.
Right? So here's the setting, all right? So there's this group of people and You know what? Funny. We have examples from Lockheed Martin and the engineers that did the F-35. But like everybody's favorite ones, like yours, Chris, those are the people that are parking cars. So we'll do parking
exactly.
cars.
Exactly. The hotel one was the best. Yeah.
Right. So these people, they outsource parking at hospitals and hotels, and their wildly important goal was to not lose any accounts. And so that meant that down at the operational level, they had to improve the rating they were getting from customers. So it was a customer service wildly important goal. And they looked at the disciplines, they understood, okay, so we wanna see a movement of all the things we could focus on, we want these satisfaction scores to go up. And so when they got to lead measures, which asked the question, what's predictive and what's influenceable, they had been measuring everything. So they'd been measuring, do I use the proper Ritz-Carlton greeting when you come in? Do I give you a bottle of water? Did I use your name? Did I open the door for the guest? Did I grab your bags? Like all this stuff they had been measuring. But when they thought about what's predictive and influenceable, they said, funny enough, it's the one thing we're not measuring. We said, what's that? And they said, car retrieval time.
Getting their car. Yeah.
And I said, well, if you know it's important, why didn't you measure it? And they're like, well, that's a pain in the neck because you can't spot measure it. You got to track everyone. Yeah. And then you got to add it. You got to subtract. And no, we're like, measure it. So they did, right? And so now if you see this, so they're trying to improve guest satisfaction. And they're trying to, their lead measure, their lever is getting the cars back faster. And there's this great expression that necessity is the mother of invention. So with the game on, then every week, these valets have got to come up with something to improve car retrieval time. So they were like, okay, so when they check in, give them your, you know, they came up with this idea, give them your card and say, okay, so when you're done with your conference, just text me, I'll have the car waiting, zero retrieval time. And then they started changing the order of the cars in the parking lot so that they knew that, okay, Chris is going to check out on Thursday, Wednesday night when they have downtime. They're going to make sure Chris's car is ready to go at the front of the lot. And it was just stuff nobody'd ever thought of.
Right.
But like you said, winnable game. It was game on. So the only reason that this is a story is because, well, you're in Miami, right?
I actually know the hotel.
You know the hotel, right?
All the time. That's why it has a special place in my heart.
In your heart, right. So the Lowe's Hotel in Miami was the parking was being run by this town park company. Great organization, by the way. And they were having a real struggle because of the arrangement of the parking lot. They had a concrete wall where they had to park the cars three deep, which means if you need a car from the front of the line, you got to move three cars. And they were just struggling. And so one week, and this is in the book, and I love that Chris remembered this. One week, one of the valet supervisors made the weekly commitment that the wall is coming out.
I love it.
Right, this kid's father worked for a construction company. They pulled 10 like tons of concrete, and the executives, when they're telling the story, they always say, if this had been our idea, they wouldn't have done it at gunpoint, but it was their idea. So there's your town park story.
I love that story. And again, and it's because it became a game. Well, after listening to all of these, now you can go back and listen to all the full episodes anytime you want on your podcast app. And we have even more great interviews in the coming months. Dig into more of these great building ideas for your client experience, how to make it really remarkable. And in the next 2 weeks, we're also going to do another best of, which we're going to talk about succession planning, which has been a great topic that we've had and had many guests talk about. If you have some examples of great client experiences or things that you've done with your clients, I would love to hear from you. This is how we spread these ideas. So I'd like to have a virtual coffee or in any of the different apps. You can put it right in the notes there. What are the things that you're doing to create that great, remarkable experience? Because this is how we learn. This is how we grow. This is how we build great businesses. So I look forward to talking to you about the best of succession planning in a couple of weeks. Thanks for joining me on Turning the Page. What did you learn from today's episode? If you follow me on LinkedIn, please drop me a comment there. I'd love to chat with you about it over a virtual coffee. Send me a message on LinkedIn, or you can do so at our website. The link's in the show notes. I'm Chris Reynolds, and until next time.